In the name of Jesus, amen. I remember when I first saw a Christus Rex crucifix as a young boy. It puzzled me to see Jesus on the cross adorned with a crown and with long flowing priestly robes. I thought that some artist had gotten it wrong. He was trying to hide the horror of Christ's death with this beautiful crown and this wonderful, splendid garb. It was only years later, when I grew up, learned a little bit about theology, that I realized that this crucifix indeed is depicting a wonderful, invisible reality, the invisible reality of Christ's kingly and priestly offices. There, in that crucifix, we see how he makes the cross both the throne from where he casts Satan down and establishes himself as the ruler of this world, and also the altar upon which he offers himself as the once and for all atoning sacrifice for sin. Indeed, it is this latter office of Christ as high priest that dominates the content of the letter to the Hebrews. It's often quite puzzling, though, in an aspect of Christ's person and his work that we find a bit confusing. For example, many times we think of Christ as high priest, as being patterned after or following in the prior Levitical priesthood, even as we often think of the tabernacle or the temple as the pattern for the future heavenly reality. Thus, Jesus seems to be a rather latecomer to this whole idea of priesthood. Even at that, in the Gospels, we never see him don priestly garb, much less the high priest turban and breastplate to serve in the Jerusalem temple. Furthermore, we often think that Jesus' career as high priest was a relatively short one. It began the morning he mounted the cross and ended a few hours later when the sacrifice was complete. Hebrews certainly emphasizes the centrality of the crucifixion as the decisive priestly act of Christ. We read, "He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered up himself." That doesn't mean that is all there is to this high priestly office. In fact, this 8th chapter of Hebrews reminds us that the Levitical priesthood and temple were patterned after prior heavenly realities. Before they existed, the heavenly realities existed. Indeed, there is a connection between the heavenly sanctuary and the temple, because the heavenly sanctuary, that heavenly reality, existed prior to and was the pattern for the earthly tabernacle and eventually temple. Speaking of the Levites, here the author writes, "They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." That means before Aaron became high priest in the earthly tabernacle, the Son existed in the heavenly sanctuary as the eternal high priest who would offer the sacrifice that gave all of the Israelite sacrifices their sacramental power and rendered all sacrifices after his to be superfluous. Therefore, the blueprints for Christ's priesthood and the heavenly sanctuary in which he serves did not come from ancient Israel, They existed before ancient Israel. It is Christ's priesthood and his and the heavenly sanctuary that he works in that are themselves prior to Israel and serve as the pattern for Israel's earthly counterparts that made up the first covenant. Christ's priestly work, however, could not be carried out solely in some kind of heavenly sanctuary. Now, sin was committed in God's creation by his creatures, and it necessitated that he become incarnate, joined with his creation, in order to offer a sacrifice that would free that creation from the impurity, the dirtiness of sin. We, the creatures, had rebelled, so Christ, the Creator, joined himself with his creation to redeem it. Yet this priestly work did not just end at the cross. We read, "For Christ has entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Here we read about this ongoing priestly work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nor is Hebrews the only one to talk about it. John, in his first epistle, speaks about we have an advocate with the Father, Christ, our righteousness. Or Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, writes, "It is Christ Jesus who died, who was raised from the dead, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us." Now, in the new Israel, in the church, Christ offers his ongoing priestly work for the benefit of his people, so that they may experience the wonders that he accomplished when he offered that sacrifice once and for all. This new covenant, in this new covenant relationship, our high priest washes you of your many sins, clothes you with his righteousness, and places his divine name upon you so that you may enter his presence and serve him day after day. This high priest indeed shares with us his own flesh and blood, the flesh and blood of that supreme sacrifice, so that the atonement that he has made may become ours, and so that our sins, your sins, may be remembered no more, even as Jeremiah prophesied. This heavenly sanctuary that the author is talking about here is not some kind of Platonic abstraction up there that has no relationship to down here, something that we can only think about or philosophy about. No, it is found wherever Christ, the high priest, is present, offering the gifts of the new covenant. The Mount Zion that the author talks about just a few chapters later, the heavenly sanctuary, is where Christ is. Heaven is open. It's right here. In a few short days, the church will once again fix her eyes on the high priest who made the cross the altar for the supreme sacrifice. May our solemn observance of that holy event remind us that this once and for all time sacrifice was not the end of Christ's priesthood, but has ushered in his ongoing priestly service on our behalf. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.